Welcome back, everybody, to the Rant of Thrones, the poor man's Game of Thrones after show discussion. I'm Justin.
Hey, I'm Kelly, and together we are the greatest, again, poor man's mother and son Game of Thrones reviewing duo south of Westeros, because I figured we were both in the south.
We are. We are, I guess you would say we're in Braavos, I guess. You know, it's nice and warm where we're at. I would say we're in Braavos because it can get hot as hell. And I wanted to point out that I want to thank Del Funkster on YouTube for our new tagline of Rant of Thrones, the poor man's Game of Thrones after show, because he or she pointed that out to us in the review of our last week's after show, said that, just so you know, I'm completely happy with the poor man's GOT podcast. So, hey.
And I appreciated that because, I mean, you know, we talked about that last week about, you know, that we felt like the poor man's, the not so bright Game of Thrones.
Yes, the dumb
review
dumb's version.
Show. So, yeah. Okay. The dumb dumb's version. Exactly.
That's what I like to say. Let's get right into it. I'm going to break down what happened in this episode really quickly. This was season 6, episode 2, entitled Home. And in this episode, Bran trains with a three-eyed raven. Jaime advises Tommen. Tyrion demands good news. And at Castle Black, the Night's Watch stands behind the throne. Ramsay Bolton proposes a plan, if you could call it one. And then Balon Greyjoy, yes, that's right. We had a Greyjoy sighting in this episode. He entertains other proposals. So that is about as unclear of an episode recap as I've ever given, I think. But there's lots of stuff that happened in this episode. And I will say up front that I also apologize for my voice. I was at a huge cigar convention all weekend, which I do not smoke cigars, but they were smoking in this room.
So you weren't... Oh, okay. So that's the deal.
Yes. I mean, it was wall to wall. I mean, as soon as you walk in this room, it was just a haze, a fog of cigar smoke. And I had to talk to like 6,000 people in the span of 2 days. So my voice is a little bit strained. So I apologize for that. But let's get right into the episode because holy shit, hashtag Jon Snow is alive.
He lives. Yes.
Oh, man.
That was so great.
It was so great. My girlfriend and I were watching the episode together, and she said, I was worried about you. I didn't hear you breathing over there. Whenever Jon Snow gasped, I heard you gasp. That's my boy. That's my bestie.
I think there was probably a lot of people that did the exact same thing. Because, you know, you were super, super quiet because I kept waiting to hear a breath.
Yes.
And I'm watching his chest. Which looked pretty damn good, by the way, even with a... let me just say this. I mean, since we've already discussed the fact that, you know, we're the dumb-dumb version, did he die with a boner?
Oh, my God. I was wondering if somebody was going to point that out. I was not going to let it be me because, I mean, yes, I like Jon Snow,
weird.
But not in a physical way. I like him in a bro, emotional, you know...
Yeah, sure, whatever.
I want to go to war with Jon Snow.
Sure, whatever, but you still saw the boner.
I did see that. You know, hey, good for Jon Snow.
That's
good,
what I was saying,
good for
man.
Jon Snow. I don't know how Melisandre didn't notice that in the moment, because we saw her come on to Jon Snow, last season, and, you know, he turned her down. He was like, I'm a man in the Night's Watch, and I loved another, but... Yeah, there was something going on down there. I'm sure there's going to be lots of memes about it here in the future. But you're right, as far as like his chest, I thought not that it didn't look good. I mean, yes, it did look good. But yeah. I kept thinking, honestly, that we were going to have like a Wolverine situation going on, that, you know, his wounds were just going to go heal back up really quickly. Because I honestly didn't know what was going to happen. We've seen... whenever I cannot remember for the life of me his name, but he was the priest that kept saving that one guy in seasons past with, you know, and he was a Lord of the Light follower, and Melisandre met him because that's who she was referring to, that she saw somebody, you know, a priest bring back another person. So she was referring to him in that episode.
Yeah.
For the life of me, cannot remember that dude's name. He kind of just disappeared in Game of Thrones and like never came back. And I don't remember what he did. to be honest. Like, I don't remember whenever the guy came back. I know that he had wounds and stuff still when he came back. Because remember, he had an eye missing because he'd been dead so many times. He'd been killed so many times. So
right.
But man,
yeah. I mean, he came back. How many times did he come back?
It seemed like
it was at least three.
Yeah, from what I remember, yeah, somewhere around 2 to 3 times he had came back to life. But man, thank God Jon Snow is back. It was such an amazing scene because, for one, they could have drawn this out as long as they wanted, and people would have still watched every week to find out, is Jon Snow going to be alive? Is he going to come back? But hey, they're awesome. They let us know in episode 2.
I was really worried because I had read some other reviews and some other theories and that type of thing that said that it was going to be much later. If he did come back, that it was going to be much later in the season. And I'm like, ah, dang, I hope that's not true. So I wasn't going to be at all surprised, or I wasn't surprised when everyone left the room and he was still laying there. The deal was for me, though, I mean, I didn't think they could wait too long because obviously they burn people really quickly.
Yeah, and how many episodes could we go with his body just laying on that table?
Right. I was wondering if you were upset because Melisandre did give him a little bit of a haircut. Did that bother you?
I mean, those locks, they're still there.
They're still there.
They're still intact. You know, he's still got the man beard, so that's good. And there's a trailer, which I didn't watch any of the trailers before Game of Thrones started. Like, I wanted to go into it pure. I wanted to be a Game of Thrones season 6 virgin. I didn't want to see anything that was coming. But I went back now that I've seen the first episode. I was like, okay, I can go watch a trailer. I watched a few breakdowns. And there is a scene where there's a huge battle going on. And it looks exactly like Jon Snow in the middle of this battle. So a lot of people were, you know, fully expecting Jon Snow to come back, and I anticipate that it's going to be the battle between Castle Black and Winterfell, that I think Jon Snow's going to lead the charge to come back and overtake Ramsay Bolton's bitch ass.
Yeah, God.
He is a bastard. I want to come back to Castle Black in a second, but while we're talking about Ramsay Bolton, man, killing your dad, which in a truly just slimy sleazeball way.
Dad, congratulations. I'm so excited about my baby brother.
Yeah.
That's him.
Oh, man. Ramsay is he's a bastard in every sense of the word.
He really is. Yeah. I felt so bad, though, when they walked in and said that it was a baby boy. I thought, oh, man, people are going to die.
Yeah. Well, that line that Roose gave to him beforehand about, what was it? I wrote it down. It was something like you behave like a dog or something like that.
If
you get a reputation as a mad dog, you'll be treated as a mad dog. Mm-hmm. As soon as he said that,
like,
I knew it was over for him.
Sealed your fate.
Yeah, because I think that was one too many times of, you know, giving Ramsay shit. And I don't think he takes... There's something wrong with Ramsay's brain, obviously.
Really? I was questioning that, so I'm glad you finally cleared that up for me.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm here for you to clear up that there was something a little bit slightly off with Ramsay Bolton. Whenever you feed your stepmom, I guess.
Yeah, that was his stepmom and his little baby brother.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if they were gonna go there. But I knew he would have to. I mean, he couldn't let his little baby brother live. He couldn't take him and give him to some poor people. Just the idea that kid, you know, an actual legitimate heir was out there, you know, he couldn't let that happen.
Yeah, no, I mean, and it's weird because I know right now a lot of people are feeling badly for Cersei and her family, the Lannisters and everything, for how many losses that they've accumulated. But sometimes we forget that she was the one, like, from what I can remember, she was the one leading the charge to kill all of Robert Baratheon's bastards.
Yeah.
I mean, just one after the other. You know, we still have the one bastard that's out there somewhere. We don't know
cannot wait to find him.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen to him. I think he's just gone. I don't know if he's ever going to... I don't think he's going to show back up because
he's going to have to come back.
I just don't think that he will because I feel like we have so many other claims to the throne because of the Targaryen blood lineage that, I mean, that's, you know, Robert was the usurper and took over the Iron Throne from the Targaryens. They're the they were the rightful kings of the of Westeros and everything. So I don't know. I don't know if he's going to come back, but Ramsay, he's got all the bad things in the world coming to him, and he deserves it. I mean, Walda, she was such a nice lady. She wasn't mean at all. She had like no mean bone in her body, which is kind of crazy because she's a Frey, and Walder Frey's a bastard asshole who betrayed Robb Stark and killed him. I mean, that was messed up. I still don't forgive Walder Frey. I hope he dies a horrible, horrible death. So, let's go back to Castle Black for a second, because I just wanted to point out how badass it was that the Wildlings came in and saved Ser Davos, and Dolores Edd like came in and just bitch slapped Ser Alistair Thorne. It was so epic. Whenever he was like, "You guys are the traitors. Yeah, we're not the ones.
We were just this close," and my fingers are super close together, just in case you're wondering, to the door being knocked down.
Yeah,
and you know all of our good guys being just cut to pieces. So yeah, that was very, very nice. I knew when the castle gates were shaking that it had to be the giant.
Yeah,
the wildling giant.
Oh man, when he smashed that dude!
Oh my god, that was so great. And I know we'll do our top three review.
Yes.
Here in a little bit, and I think that might actually if it's not in my top one, it's going to have to be an honorary because his head split like a melon. It was so great.
It was fantastic. You know, we do The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead recap shows and everything, and we've had some pretty epic brain smashes. That's right up there with any zombie brain smashing that we've ever had on the show of The Walking Dead, because yeah, you're right, that thing just it just split right open. It was incredible. I loved as soon as that moment happened, the rest of the Night's Watch were like, okay, I think I'm going to put my weapons down.
I thought that was pretty amazing that they chickened out that quickly. Just one kill, and they were done.
Would you not have been done?
No, I mean, I think, you know, I think I would have probably been stupid enough to continue to fight. I might have been the only one. You know, everyone behind me is going, oh, dumb.
Yeah. Still,
you know, but I think I would have been stupid enough to keep on.
I would have immediately. I think as soon as they walked in, and I mean, you see this like just horde of wildlings come in, yeah, and they look super duper pissed, and Tormund with that crazy red ginger beard that
he has.
Well,
I was just saying, you know, when your leader is a crazy redheaded, you know, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always scary.
Yeah, super scary. I love him so much. I was so glad that they came to the rescue. I was glad that Dolores Edd, he delivered on the promise. You know, he was the one that was charged with going out there and getting the wildlings to come back in and save Ser Davos and the group. So I was super happy about that. I can't believe they honestly didn't kill Ser Alistair. I think that they showed right there that how much they are above him. I mean, like,
yeah,
I know that he's a very honorable dude in the sense that, you know, he's defended the Night's Watch for all these years and everything, but dude, you killed the Lord Commander.
The Lord Commander, you were the first one to
jab
the knife. Yeah. So he's not an honorable dude. He needs to go in a really horrible way.
Yeah, I don't think that he will. I honestly don't think they're going to kill him. I think they would have done it in this episode if they were going to. I don't know if he can redeem himself. Do you think that he can?
When John wakes up, what do you think John's going to do?
Ooh. I think John is so honorable that he forgives him.
Okay, he's gonna forgive him, but he's gonna say,
"Ghost eat him.
We're having Ollie for dinner."
Okay, yes. If we have Ollie for dinner, I'm okay with that.
Okay,
because
all right.
At the end of the day, Ollie was the asshole that brought John to the slaughtering. So if Ghost wants an Ollie snack, I'm quite all right with that. Okay, so we've already covered off on a few of the characters in this week's episode, but we're going to kind of go around, I don't know, around the world and check on each one of the characters. So I want to head over to Tyrion and Varys in Meereen. Short scene, but I loved it.
It was so, so great. I cannot believe how brave Tyrion was. And, you know, I loved how he got really smooth you know, with the dragons. I mean, he knows that the only way that they're going to be able to do what needs to be done is to let those dragons loose. And he does it. And when you think about how far he's come since the beginning of Game of Thrones, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, no, it is incredible that that he has come from the whoring and boozing dude that is kind of, he was useless, but he didn't really add a lot of value to anything that was going on.
No one let him add value.
No, it's very true. Nobody did let him add value, and it's really nice to see that even though he even tells Varys himself, he says, next time I have an idea like that, punch me in the face.
Yeah.
Because, you know, whenever he goes into the dungeon where the dragons are, he immediately rethinks it when one of them comes out. But I love the fact that, you know, he tells them a story about how he's, when he was a little boy.
I'm friends with your mother.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I'm friends with your mother. I wanted a little, you know, a dragon of my own.
Yes.
Okay. This is a theory that has gone out there for quite some time. Who knows if it's true or not? But there's a theory that Tyrion has Targaryen blood in him some way, somehow. And the way that he interacted with these dragons in this episode,
yeah,
I can totally see it now at this point. I don't know how that would have came to be because I just Tywin, I don't know if he would he have brought in somebody that's of Targaryen blood? I don't know. I mean, obviously Tywin, he was with the Targaryens. I mean, that was his lord. That was the king, was the Targaryens, and he was one of the people that served the Targaryens. I don't know, but I did find it very interesting the fact that Tyrion could speak to those dragons like he did. They didn't want to eat him.
And we've not seen that anyone else to be able to do that except for Dany.
Exactly, which was it was very interesting. So I'd love to hear anybody's thoughts. If you're watching this video, if you're listening to this, let us know what you think. Do you think that Tyrion is a part of the Targaryen lineage? Because that would be very, very crazy if this whole time that right now, like him and Dany are brother and sister or something like that,
right,
or cousins.
Right. Cousins, uh-huh.
So, yeah, that would be insane. But I love that scene. It was really great. I can't wait to see what these dragons do because apparently everything in Meereen has gone to shit. The slaves have gone back to the slavers at Slaver's Bay. They're going to need these dragons to come back and destroy and murderize a lot of these bastards that are trying to take back Meereen. So I'm excited for that. And I liked his no cock and balls jokes that he gave. that was some low blows right there. No puns intended. Or actually all puns intended.
Yes,
for that.
They were all intended, I'm sure.
Yes, they were all intended. Okay, something that we didn't touch on last week in our after show, and I don't think we touched on it that much, was Cersei and Jaime in King's Landing. The fact that Myrcella, her bodies came back to King's Landing with Jaime, and obviously Cersei was just devastated. This is another one of her right. kids that has been killed. All of the prophecies are coming true.
And just, I mean, seriously, she is an evil woman, but how quickly she's had all these children die so close, you know, in a period of time, I mean, has been just awful. So
do you root for her at all now to take revenge?
I do. I can't help it. I just always have. I mean, you know, she screws her brother, but I love them as a couple. You know, it's just, I can't help it. I like them.
No, I do too. And I don't know what's going to happen because eventually, as we see in this episode, the Starks are rising. You know, if you were buying stock, you would buy stock in the Starks at this point because we see Jon Snow, which, you know, he's technically a Stark as far as we know at this point
as
still.
As far as we know, right.
You know, we don't know if, you know, he's actually a Targaryen. I do think that he is going, that's going to turn out to be true, that he is actually a Targaryen and not a Stark, and that Ned took him in. He's actually Lyanna's son. And Ned took him out. It took him in because he didn't want Robert to kill him. So I do think that that's going to come true. But I don't know what's going to happen though. Because are they going to try and kill the Lannisters still? Like, if the North and the Starks and everything, they come together, Sansa and, you know, Bran now in this episode, will they take on the Lannisters?
That's a good question. I mean, I almost feel like they have to be allies at this point.
Yeah, I don't... Because at the end of the day, you know, we saw last week that Dorne is gone to shit. You know, Ilaria and the Sand Snakes have overtaken Dorne, and they're gonna be coming for the Lannisters for sure. But the Starks were de facto a part of that, right, of everything that happened. I mean, obviously, we know that Ned would have never had them killed. I cannot remember her name. Oberyn's sister.
Woman.
Yeah. Well, no, it was his sister that was killed by the mountain and everything.
Yes. Yeah.
So I don't know. It's weird. It seems weird to me to think at this point that the Lannisters, even though this all started from them, I mean, this all started from Jaime and Cersei's love affair. I don't know what's going to happen with them. I don't feel like that. I feel like they're going to obviously want to go to war with Ilaria, the Sand Snakes, and Dorne, but at the end of the day, they're gonna all have to fight the Night's King. So I don't know. I don't know what's gonna happen.
I don't know what's gonna happen either. But I still I don't know why I feel like they're going to have to team up. I just feel that way.
Yeah,
and then they can kill each other afterwards.
Afterwards, okay. Then it won't be Game of Thrones anymore, but it'll have to be some kind of spinoff show where then it's just everybody's trying to kill the Lannisters again. So, but
as it should be.
Yes, as it should be. As it was in the beginning,
yes,
it shall be in the end. So,
exactly.
I did love that scene with the mountain zombie. He just murders that shit talker, just destroys him. Basically, like the giant popped that other dude's head like a melon, the mountain zombie did the exact same thing in this episode. And it was great. Even though I don't like that dude, Robert the Strong, I think is his name. I'm not really sure. But
actually, and I'm trying to think now, that might have been my favorite melon popping. I think that was the one that I liked better. Because, you know, that dude was talking bad about Cersei and, you know, some bullshit about how she wanted him. And then he turned around and popped his head.
He shouldn't have peed on him. He would have let it slide had the dude not peed on him. And then I think that was the final straw.
You think
was,
so?
If somebody pees on me like that, I think that's the game ender for them. You pee on me, I'm going to pop your head like a melon up against this wall. The mountain zombie's no joke. The Kingsguard, there was like 10 of those dudes and they were peeing their pants, thinking that the mountain zombie was going to come after them. That was...
I would pee my pants too, so I mean, I can't blame them.
Yeah, no, I can't blame them either. And, you know, luckily, Tommen and Cersei, they have a makeup scene in this episode. So I think that she is going to have Tommen take the Kingsguard and murderize the crap out of the High Sparrow and the rest of the Faith Militant.
I'm sorry. I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, he, even though, you know, he's supposed to be this person that's for the people, and, you know, he says, we're the weak, we're the oppressed, but together we're strong. I'm like, nah, bitch, I hope you die.
Yeah.
Which is really weird for me to say, because Cersei's, she's the one that put him in power to basically undermine Marjorie and the Tyrells.
I know, and we know how much you love Marjorie.
I know. I'm going to need her to get out of those prisons and get back to wearing those sexy outfits, because she's just she's too gorgeous to be down there in these prisons.
You know, it's funny because last week when we saw her, she's held up better in prison than Cersei did.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so as well.
She just looked cleaner to me.
She did. She did look cleaner. I mean, I don't know. It's very tough. Cersei, she's gorgeous as well. Lots of gorgeous women in Westeros, all over the place. But I'm excited to see what happens between the Lannisters and the Faith Militant, as well as what are they going to do? What's their ultimate plot for revenge on Ilaria and the Sand Snake. So, which we didn't get any of them in this week's episode, but I'm kind of glad because after I watched that episode last week, I watched it another couple of times. They really just annoy the crap out of me. But I am glad that they progressed that story far enough along to where it's
very quickly.
Yeah, I think that was the most positive part about that is that they progressed it to where we don't have to see it that much.
Okay, I know you don't like that story much. When she killed Oberyn's brother, because I watched it again tonight before tonight's episode.
Yes.
I didn't realize that she shit talked Oberyn.
Yeah, I don't. It's very odd to me, you know, because we didn't touch on it a lot last week's episode, or I don't think, or maybe not even at all, because I don't, it wasn't one of the main things that we wanted to talk about. But it's kind of a weird thing to do. You're saying you're fighting for Oberyn, but yet you kill his brother and his nephew.
Yeah, right.
Not exactly the nicest thing to do for Oberyn. Like, I don't think Oberyn would have been too pleased had you killed his brother.
I don't think she was killing for him. She called him weak.
Yeah, I think she's just, she's killing for power at this point.
Right.
So,
She was saying that Oberyn was just as weak as the rest of the men that have ruled Dorne.
Yeah, I think at this point, I don't know, it's almost equal footing. Ramsay's a little bit higher on the I can't wait to see him die a horrible death list.
Oh, yeah.
And then Ilaria and the Sand Snakes are right there below him.
I'm really surprised, only a little bit, that Ramsay's just a little bit higher. Because dude is he peels old lady's skin.
Okay, but let's remember, Roos was a backstabbing traitor.
Okay.
He was a fucking asshole that led to the murder of Robb Stark and Catelyn Stark.
Okay.
So I think he deserved it. Even though he didn't deserve it the way he got it.
No, I'm not saying that. He deserved to die.
Yeah.
I have no problem with him killing his dad. I mean, other than, you know, it's pretty shitty.
Yeah.
Okay, let me say, I have a problem with him killing his dad. I have no problem that his dad died.
Yes, I think that's fair.
That's what I meant to say, yeah.
That, no, that's fair. Who do you think gets Ramsay at this point?
Oh, my God.
Is it Sansa? Is it Theon?
No, it's going to be Sansa.
I think
it has to be. She's going to avenge her family.
I don't know. We see her in this episode just really quickly because there wasn't a whole lot to the scenes with Sansa, Brienne, and Theon this week. They're still headed to Castle Black. I guess the main thing, which was the episode title, which was entitled Home, is that Theon is headed home. So I think that's one of the big questions to me because, all right, we see that Theon is headed home back to the Iron Islands. We also get a Greyjoy sighting in this episode.
Yes.
We haven't seen them in a hot minute. So we take a trip back to the Iron Islands. And I have to say, wherever they film that for the Iron Island scenes is so cool looking. I think it's somewhere off of Ireland, I'm guessing. But it just looks so cool. I mean, it looks like a terrible place to live. Because, I mean, it's like storm
it
the entire time. And you know, water's
basically... I bet
their
internet connection is really bad.
Yeah, their internet connection is definitely shit. I would have to say that their upload's probably less than 1 megabyte per second. And their download's probably not even at 10. So, but it was an interesting thing to throw in because we haven't seen them for a while. We see Yara, which is the best of the Greyjoys, I think, at this point, because they all seem kind of like dicks, especially Baelon. Baelon, and he doesn't even care about Theon, which, this is my number one reasoning for why I'm okay with Theon. He's done some really, like, heinous acts, and, I mean, he confesses all of that to Sansa in this episode, that he doesn't deserve a redemption. You know, he doesn't deserve Jon not killing him because Sansa doesn't know that Jon's dead yet, which now he's back alive, so that's even better. Did you like the scenes with the Greyjoys in this week's episode?
Yeah.
It was fine.
I mean, because honestly, the Greyjoys have never been a, a family that I've really gave much of a shit about.
You haven't warmed to them?
No, I have not. So
I love Yara.
Yeah. Oh no, she's pretty cool. But she's a woman, so she can't, you know, she can't rule.
Yeah.
Fucker. Dad is such a fucker.
Yeah, no, and then she's still like super saddy pants about him being killed. She's, I will get revenge. I will find out who did this.
She should have said,
And he's dead. I'm the lord of the Iron Islands now, bitches. Mm-hmm. But even I don't know who that person was.
But if
I was Yara, I would have bitch slapped him.
Exactly.
That guy that pushed Balon out into the ocean.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, no, that guy.
That's her uncle.
Oh.
That's her dead uncle.
Wait.
That's who.
No. I'm not talking about the guy that pushed Balon over. I'm talking about at the funeral.
Yeah.
That guy that was saying, like, you know, you can't just automatically be the Lord of the Iron Islands.
Yeah.
It has got to come to a vote or whatever the hell that dude said. That's the guy that, if I was Yara, which we all know, she's a badass. I mean, she's on Brienne's level of badassery. I mean, she takes dudes out, no problem. And yeah, I would have definitely gave that dude a backhand and
I think she should have. Yes, immediately. Let him know right off the bat that I'm sorry, I do have a vagina, but I will myrtleize your ass.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been fantastic had she done that. And yeah, I'm guessing that's Euron Greyjoy, Balon's brother that came in. He's been kind of out at sea for many, many years, just being a bastard pirate, it sounds like, and just killing people, cutting their tongues off, tongues out. Off.
Okay, now
the way it goes, they can't talk.
Didn't Balon say that he thought he was dead?
I could have been. I can't remember exactly. I think you're probably right. And I think that this brother has been kind of.
His dead brother has come back. Is what I wrote.
Yeah, no. I mean, it could have been. I mean, he's definitely been an absentee brother. That's for sure.
And he is so much younger. How is that? You know, I mean, I realize, you know, they have families after family after, you know, I mean, you just have to keep reproducing because kids die off like crazy.
Yeah, they're popping them out left and right here in the world of Westeros.
But, I mean, he didn't act like he's a half-brother.
No.
So
he said he was the right.
Right. So he would have to have the same parents, and you know, there's only so much popping out a mom can do.
Yeah.
You
know? This is very true. But
so, I'm just saying, why is he so young?
I don't know. I mean, but we see it with the Starks as well. I mean, Rickon, he was like a baby almost, and then we have Rob and Sansa who is they're much, much older. And we even see it in this episode because that's something we haven't touched on, is Bran.
Look at how grown he is.
Yeah, I mean, I love seeing Bran back. It's been an entire season since we've seen Bran on the show.
Since 4, yeah.
Yeah, so it's really cool. I loved the opening scene with Bran. The fact that he's, you know, hanging out with the Three-Eyed Raven, which is played by Max von Sydow, I believe is how you pronounce his name. Love that dude. He's fantastic. I'm so glad to see him on the show. But you know, we're talking about these age gap differences because we see, excuse me, I am losing my voice. We see him hanging out in the past, and we see young Ned, young Benjen, and young Lyanna Stark, which is amazing to see her on the show. But we do see an age gap there because Lyanna is like much older than everybody else. So I love that. I'm with Bran. I wanted to stay back there forever.
Well, that and the fact that he could walk around, too, which, you know, had to be awesome. He's not as easy for Hodor to carry anymore.
No. He's slightly bigger now.
Yeah.
Hodor is going to have a little bit harder time carrying him around at this point. But it was so cool seeing Hodor speak.
I know.
It made me really sad.
His name is Willis.
I know. I want to know what happened to Willis.
Oh, what you talking about, Willis?
Yeah, literally, what are you talking about, Willis? Yep. 'Cause you don't talk anymore. You just say Hodor. But you could see like the pain in Hodor's eyes whenever Bran came back and he was asking him about Willis and, you know, saying like you could speak and everything.
Yeah, Hordor.
Hodor's.
Hordor. Yeah,
Yeah.
I know. He says it in so many different ways.
I know.
You know, it's like a whole language with one word.
It is. It's an entire language with just Hodor. He can tell us all the ranges of the emotions just by saying that. I love that scene so much, and it's going to be really cool seeing Bran being able to travel back in the past. I think that – I don't remember if we talked about this in another one of our many podcasts that we do. It wasn't Game of Thrones specific, but that was something that I did think that was going to happen in season six, is that we were going to see some flashbacks. I still hope and I still pray that we get Ned Stark back on the show.
Oh, my God. That
and
would be so
Ned
amazing.
By Ned Stark, I mean Sean Bean. Like, I want to see Sean Bean in a flashback. I want to see what happens with Lyanna Stark on the show. It's a must.
Yeah.
We must see this. So, and there was only, I think there was only one other thing in this episode.
Arya.
Yeah, it was Arya. And I mean, Jaqen H'ghar, he basically just gets tired of beating the shit out of Arya and lets
Thank
her
God.
Back to the wolf pack.
Thank God. Well,
yeah.
You know, he gave her the final test and she passed. So.
Yes, she passed with flying colors because she has no name, which is great. I'm glad. I'm glad to see what's going to happen. You know, this has been for about a season and two episodes now of not really quite figuring out what's going to happen with Arya, but I think we're getting close. I think we're going to find out Arya's ultimate mission now.
I hope so, because that is one of my least favorite storylines to visit at this point. I love her.
Yeah, it's been really tough since she left the Hound. Her and the Hound, oh my God, they were fantastic together. I love them so much, and I love Jaqen H'ghar.
Yeah,
but,
me too.
But he kind of like goes in and out. It's a lot of times it's Arya and this waif girl. I don't know what her actual name is, you know, beating
She's
the shit
bitch.
Out of her. Yeah. That's like Jaqen H'ghar's alter ego where he just wants to beat the shit out of somebody and be like, hey, it wasn't me.
Yeah.
I was in somebody else's face basically. So what did you think overall about this week's episode? we rate the show out of bacons because bacons is what we love.
Yeah.
So what would you give it out of five bacons?
I'd give it five bacons. Jon Snow lives. I'd give it 10 bacons.
Exactly. 1,000 bacons
exactly.
for Jon Snow.
Exactly. I mean, it was so good. And I've been, you know, how long did we wait for him to come back to life? It feels like about a year.
It's been a long time of waiting to see Jon Snow back. And I'm with you. This episode, even if the entire rest of the episode sucked, I'd give it
Which
5
it did
bacons.
Not.
No, it did not suck. I will say the only thing is that, you know, they're checking in on a lot of characters each episode, which is fine, but we also don't get to spend a larger amount of time with each character in each episode, which I kind of hope that we get to spend a little bit more, but I get it. They're trying to, you know, converge all of the stories together, and we have not a whole lot of characters left, but
we
enough
didn't even
to where...
We didn't see Danny at all.
No, we did not see Danny this week, but I think that was good. I think the rest of the stuff that we saw... was obviously good enough, and they could have just shown the ending that Jon Snow's back, and that would have gave five bacons for me.
Exactly.
So I'm super excited about that. We want to know your thoughts on the episode, so leave the comments in the comment box down below. How many bacons would you rate Game of Thrones Season 6, Episode 2, Home? And what were your favorite moments from this episode? Are you glad that Jon Snow's back? What do you think is going to happen with Cersei and Jaime? What are those dragons going to do? Are the Greyjoys going to actually rise up and help overtake Winterfell? I don't know. We're going to find out, though, in the next couple of weeks of Game of Thrones. So thanks so much for listening to us rant about the episode. Hope you enjoyed it, and we'll be back next week with some more Rant of Thrones.
Bye-bye. I need a dollar.